We give you full and complete rule and reign, Holy Spirit, to do whatever the Father is telling you to do. And Father, we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. I don't know if you know it or not, but God is on the move and there's things going on in the spirit realm. God had me praying in the spirit the whole way to church. That's something I never do. So he wants to move. Will you allow him to move? And this is where the bottom line is. And do you really want the Holy Spirit to move in your life and have him have full, total, complete rule and reign? You have to really be submissive to the Holy Spirit in order for him to do what he just so desires to do. This morning, God wants to talk about humility. God spoke to me and said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is humility. This is one trait my church does not flow in. Okay? My church must learn to flow in humility, or they will never be able to do the works that my son Jesus and his disciples accomplished. There is power in humility. And I hope during this Easter season you learn that. You learn the gift of humility. And I hope you learn it so that God can use you. I'm hearing God say there's such a uniqueness in humility that the church has not yet grasped. And until we grasp that uniqueness, we're not going to be able to do the things that God has called us for to do. Each one of you, God is calling you to a seriousness in your walk with him. He's called us to a love walk, but we also have to be serious in that love walk. And we have to be yielding ourselves to everything that God's calling us forth to do, no matter what it is. All right, the word humility is the first virtue because it removes the obstacles of faith. If you can grasp humility, your faith is going to grow. What is the meaning of humility? In the Bible, humility is a critical and continuous emphasis of godliness. Why? Because we are called upon to be humble, followers of Christ, and trust in the wisdom and salvation of God. Do you know people don't have to do what you ask them to do? You have to learn that right up front before you ever start a ministry. People do not have to do what you tell them to do. You know, as you're teaching the word. Your job is to teach that word, and they'll do with that word what they want to do with it. And if they're led by the Holy Spirit will lead them to do what they're supposed to do. You guys, you can spin your wheels like I did for years trying to make people believe the word. Or you can submit the word to God, give it to the people, and walk on. You know, once you give it, then it's up to them what they do with it. But what you have to make sure of is that you're always teaching the truth and not a half truth. And it's too much that has been going on, but now God has moved past that, and God now is going to do his thing his way. He's given the church to relent and do things his way, but the church hasn't. So now he's going to do his thing. And we just have to know that he is all sovereign. In John 13, verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper, and they're talking about the disciples here. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simeon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God, you know, this Jesus knew who he was, is what this is saying. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God, it was going to God. See, the trouble with you guys is a majority of the body of Christ, you don't know that you really belong to God. You don't really know what God is trying to get you to do. And so therefore, you're wandering around trying to find out what to do. And if you would just take time in the presence of God, he would teach you all things. All right, so then Jesus rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, Jesus poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to Jesus, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." So Simon Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." You know, here comes little Peter, you know. And Jesus said to Peter, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" A lot of you don't understand that Jesus has washed your feet. Jesus said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." See, we don't always do what we know to do. Jesus said, "I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, and that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me." He's talking about Judas. "Now I tell you before it comes, that even that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. And most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." I'm just going to ask a question. How many of you men in here washed your wife's feet? And by doing it, you're saying, "I'm your servant." And how many of you women have washed your husband's feet and said to them, by doing that, "I'm your servant"? In other words, you're not greater than your the spouse. You're equal. God called you, made you equal. One time God told me, "Wash my husband's feet." And so I did. And he said, "Well, I'm going to wash yours too." God was trying to show me something. But he said he had to wash my feet too. You know, what God was showing me is he was, when I married him, he was a sinner. But God was showing me that, and I was fussing after I found all this out. And God had me wash his feet to show me that I was his servant. And that I was to lead him to Christ. You know, if you have somebody in your family that's not doing right, you never become their servant. You become the person that ridicules and push and pulls down all the time. And maybe what you need to do is wash their feet. Humble yourself, wash their feet. See, when I washed my husband's feet, I said to God, "But I'm not the sinner. He, you know, I went all the way with it." Changed his life. And if we would do the practice that Jesus did. You know, if you get a pastor today who wants to be exalted, there's no way that pastor would ever wash any of his people's feet. They would want them washing their feet. And that's not what God wants. Amen. So keep this in mind. You know, If you have a rebellious child, maybe what you need to do is wash their feet. You would be surprised at what washing somebody else's feet does to you. Not to the other person, but to you. It changes your whole attitude toward that person. Because we are called to serve, right? Then why do we always want somebody to exalt us? Why do we always want to be honored? Think about this. All right, what does God say about humility? The disciples, according to this story, the disciples thought that since Jesus was God and master of all, they should wash his feet. And in modern society, that's the way people think. But Jesus wanted to show them that it's not a sign of weakness to serve. See that? To serve someone is a sign of love, strength, and humility. Let's do this again. But Jesus wanted to show them that it's not a sign of weakness to serve someone. It's a sign of love, strength, and humility. If the body of Christ would get this down, we could win the world. We could win our families. We could win our church members if we ourselves learned humility. Humility means that you don't view yourself as better than other people. What did Jesus teach about humility? He taught that any person who wants to be seen as the greatest must portray him or herself as the least. See this. Jesus was with his disciples one day. The disciples asked him who was the greatest among them. And Matthew 23:11-12 says, Jesus said, he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Woman, go get me some coffee. I know somebody does. It jerks my jaws every time. They humbly walk over there and get this little cup of coffee and take it to that lazy guy sitting in that chair without complaining. See, that's that person has learned to be a servant. I think I'd have to accidentally trip. No. Yeah, it was just, you know, it's just we really do have to learn to be humble. We really do. I'm going to quit. Where am I at? Luke 9:46. Luke 9:46 says, then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be his disciples. You know, they wouldn't know who was going to be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him and said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me, for he who is least among you will be great. And you all know the story when I was on the circuit, when I first started, Treesanne and I went, and I would go to the church because I was a speaker. They'd always grab a hold of Treesanne's hand and take her and give her an honored seat and let me stand there, and I had to find my own seat. Did that upset me? No. Because, see, I don't like to be honored anyhow. So I was really pleased that they was honoring her and not me, and I just found a seat wherever I felt like sitting. And they would always, sometimes they'd want me to sit in the front row. I said, I really don't want to do that. I'd rather just soon sit in the back. I was at a church one time where in Pennsylvania, and God said to me, I want you to make sure you sit in the back row. So I did. Made the pastor upset, but I said, that's where I have to sit. And so during praise and worship, God told me to turn around and sing to the wall. So I did. And when praise and worship was over, that pastor got me. He was furious. What are you trying to do to us? Why did you disgrace us by turning your back on us and singing to the wall? God was trying to show me something about that pastor. But no, he shouldn't have got upset what I was doing because he knew that I was led by the Spirit. But he just couldn't stand it because I wouldn't take the seat he wanted me to take. And he couldn't stand the fact that I turned my back and sang to the wall. So he was not, he didn't, had never learned how to be humble. Amen. Come on. What difference does it make where you're, how, what you're singing to? You know, we're singing to God to begin with, right? All right, Luke 22, 27. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus said, it doesn't matter who I am, I'm still your servant. Talking about tables, this pastor, he had me quite often. He'd always take me out to lunch, and last time I was here, he says, since you're so independent, we're just going to go eat by ourselves, and you can go eat by yourself. So my husband and I left and come back. Learned a lot that day, that last day, and they don't have their church to this day because they have. You have to learn to be humble. John 21, 21, disciples did not know humility. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man, John? You know, he was always worried about what John was going to do. You know, God, John was Jesus' favorite disciple. It just tells you that all through the word. And Peter was always jealous about that. So Peter, seeing, you know, John is who him is, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man, John? And Jesus said to Peter, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. In other words, don't stick your nose in somebody else's business. And that's where people always say that Jesus said that John would never die. But, you know, God put him in his place. It doesn't matter what I'm doing with him. It's what I'm doing with you. And really, if you look at the Bible and read, Peter did more than John did for to win souls. And he suffered greatly for Christ. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, we're talking about Jesus, was in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You know, he didn't say, well, I'm God's son, you treat me a special way. He didn't do that. Made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Wow, you know, I'm Barbara so-and-so and my father is so-and-so. You know, don't you hear that all the time? What difference who your father is? What difference is it what your name is? And now I'm talking about being in Christ. Being in Christ is the most important thing. Well, I'm Bishop so-and-so. And well, big whoop. You know, I really do say, because when I first came on, you know, had the church and everybody was a bishop, I said to God, why is everybody a bishop? He said, they are self-appointed bishops. I did not appoint them bishops. They appointed themselves. He said, watch their fruit. And I started watching these bishops' fruit, and they had rotten fruit. So, you know, and I wouldn't be going out there trying to put a title in front of my name. I would just be a servant of God and serve the people in whatever capacity God has called you to serve them. I've lost my place. All right, what does humbling yourself before God really mean? The Webster Dictionary defines humility as not being proud, haughty, arrogant, or assertive. Not being proud, haughty, arrogant, or assertive. It also describes the characteristics of humility as reflecting, expressing, or offering a spirit of difference or submission. We have a hard time submitting to God. And therefore, when you have a hard time submitting to God, you do not have the attribute of humility. All right? When you start your church, do not want other men following you around, waiting on you hand and foot, and handing you this and handing you that, and this, you know. That's not godly. They didn't do that to Jesus, did they? They tried to kill him all the time. And Jesus even took care of his disciples. His disciples did not take care of him. He took care of his disciples. He was a servant from right out of the gate. And see, if you're going to have a ministry, you need to be a servant right out of the gate also. So helps my name Barbara means a servant of God. But please, whatever you do, if you have a ministry of any type, quit wanting people to notice you. I have to pick on Brother Christopher. He has his picture plastered everywhere. I do not like my picture taken at all, period. I mean, anything you see, his name, his face is staring back at you with his little white teeth. And you know, and I really don't like my picture taken. Now that I'm just, you know, and I'm not saying he's not humble. I'm not saying that. And he says to me, why won't you let us take your picture? Why won't you? We need your picture. I said, no, you don't need to see my face. Just go ahead. You know. When I was up here ministering yesterday, I looked at the monitor down there and said, Christopher. He wouldn't know. Everybody knew that was his spot there. Maybe he needs to learn to become a little bit more humble. That's why they took your hard hat away. They took his hard hat away from him. Isn't that awful? First Peter 5:5. See, he's humble. He's sitting back and just laughing. But when he goes home, he's going to say, I've taught him that. I said, we'd have meetings, you know, with people. And he said, they took that well. I said, oh, just wait. They'll go home and think about it. Sure enough, they call back really upset. How dare you? So he knows that's how the routine goes. See, he's back here laughing, but he'll think about this. I'm not trying to embarrass him. I was just making a point there, all right? First Peter 5. Why do you have a picture everywhere? Is that what your screensaver is? First Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger people, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. If you just humble yourself, God will exalt you. You don't have to exalt yourself. You just really don't. And if God doesn't exalt you, then you weren't called anyhow. You know? Come on. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But of all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Colossians tells us we have to have humility. You know, when you're not humble, you don't know when to shut up. You just talk and talk and talk because you think you have to have the last word. If you're humble, you just be quiet. You won't say nothing. Amen. All right. Oh, well, thank you. She said that because she liked me sometimes not to be so winded up here, right? Okay, so let's get back here. So we're talking about how the disciples, they wanted to be great first with Jesus. Well, now let's hear a mother gets in on the show. Let's look at Matthew 20:20. It was about that time that the mother of the Zebedee brothers came with her two sons and knelt before Jesus with a request. Jesus said, what do you want? Jesus asked. She said, give your word that these two sons of mine will be awarded the highest places of honor in your kingdom. One at your right hand, one at your left hand. That's what Aaron's mother would say, because she loves her boys so much. Amen. And Jesus responded, you have no idea what you're asking. I'll wait because I don't want you to miss this important part. Aren't you glad you came into the house of the Lord this morning? Sure. You're learning to be humble. You know, while they're laughing, getting that out of their system. When people come up here and teach and they say, Pastor Barbara said, or Pastor Barbara, I'm thinking, please quit using my name. Because I don't want attention brought to me, you know. Okay, so the mother wanted her sons to sit at the right hand and left hand of Jesus. And Jesus responded, you have no idea what you're asking. And he said to James and John, are you capable of drinking the cup that I'm about to drink? And here they say, sure, why not? Some of you have done that too. And Jesus said, come to think of it, you are going to drink my cup, but as to awarding places of honor, that's not my business. My Father's taking care of that. When the 10 others heard about this, they lost their tempers, thoroughly disgusted with the two brothers. See, they're still fighting, you know. The brothers got to, isn't that how your kids do, though? Do you love, my kids say, do you love Gabriel more than you love me? And Isaiah said, and Gabriel said, do you love Isaiah more? I said, I love you both the same, you know. But isn't that how kids get do, though? Well, you did more for them. You did for me. You must love them more. You know, I've heard the other kids say that. My kids don't say that, but competition, no humility. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know, his disciples, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, some of you in here, you're going to be starting your own ministries here pretty soon. I'm going to tell you something. When I first started, you know, people just treat me like a piece of dirt. And I got upset about that. And I went to God. I said, why do they treat me so bad? He said, did you come to serve or be served? So, you know, people aren't, if you're truly called to God, people are not always going to treat you the way you want them to treat you. But that comes along with being a servant of God. So don't look for other people to say, oh, you're so wonderful and you're so great. Don't look for other people to try to help you, expand your ministry. They'll try to get your ministry broken up. Just be humble, be a servant of God, and do what God's calling you for to do. Amen. I mean, I know, you know, so you come in here because you want to hear what the word God has to say through me. I understand, and I'm the vessel that God uses, but I'm not God. Are you understanding this? And I'm still flesh and blood. And so I'm not your idol. You know, a lot of people idolize ministers. I used to do that. I did, until I learned you're not supposed to do that. And I learned that they make mistakes. But don't idolize a person, because that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us, I'm hearing him say, he wants us to fulfill our ministries in humility and serve rather than be served. The greatest in the kingdom is Jesus, right? And if you want to display greatness in his kingdom, then there is only one way possible. You must reflect his greatness. You must be like him. You hear that? You must reflect the greatness of Jesus, and you must be like him. People did not receive Jesus. The majority of them rejected him. So why do you think everybody's going to receive you? Why do you think the members of your household are going to think you're great just because you preach the gospel? Or just because you go to church? They're not. They're going to come against you. Because the devil in them does not like the fact that you have submitted yourself to God. And so that devil's going to fight you tooth and nail, trying to make you believe you're doing all the wrong things. Get it in your spirit right now this morning that you are a servant, or maybe even a slave, for Christ, and you're here to serve others and not to be served yourself. If you're truly doing it for the right reason, God will always take care of you. And he will always reassure you that he loves you when you feel like there's nobody out there that loves you or cares about what you're going through. Are you understanding this? You know, I had an incident happen yesterday while I was here preaching or teaching. And when I went home, this person who I've taken into my home started a fight with one member of my family. Now, I'm having a hard time with this because they're threatening to hurt this person when their back is turned. Yet they're telling me, you can't kick me out. This is my family members. That's their home. This other person is just there because he had no place to go. And I'm trying to stay humble without knocking his head off. You know, God, in all of his sovereignty, he will speak to you and he'll make a way. And he told me, he said, your loved ones come first. The other person comes last. So when you come into certain situations in your life, you're going to feel like, which way do I go? Even though your heart wants to go one way, but maybe God wants you to go another. You have to take it before the Father. And when you take it before the Father, humility kicks in. And God always does the right, correct thing. And I'm just hearing God say, you need to understand you're not bastard children. That he does not leave you. He does not desert you when others are coming against you. But he's always right there to provide a way of escape for you. It's time that the church learns humility. It's time that the church learns to serve. You know, it really bothers me. I don't know if it's still going. Whenever pastors say, well, if you give us $100, you know, well, God will answer your prayer. That's not true. You don't buy answers from God. You just pray to God and you let him answer your prayer. He doesn't charge you anything to pray. He doesn't charge you anything for an answer. The pastors that do that have not learned to serve. They want others to serve them. So God said at the end, come unto me this day and humble yourselves before me so I can anoint you to destroy the yokes of the wicked one and bring in the harvest. And what God wants to do this morning is anoint you with humility. Now, I know you heard what you heard this morning, but what I want you to do is constantly stay before the Father. Ask the Father to lead you in the direction he would have you to go in every situation in your life. There's sometimes you're just going to have to bite the stick and go on. There's other times God's going to say, no, you have to stand firm and do this or do that. I don't know your answers, so I don't live with you. But God knows exactly how he wants everything to turn out. And if you just submit yourself to him, you know, a situation might arise and at the point you know you need to keep quiet and you need to go spend time with the Father to see exactly how he wants you to handle it. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with walking away and seeking God's face and how to handle a situation. The problem is when you just go in there with both feet and make a mess of everything without praying. And I would suggest to stay in humility, I would suggest praying about everything before you do anything. Because God will be there for you. But God wants to anoint you guys this morning so that you become a humble servant with power and authority. You know, sometimes you think, well, God, I'm just a doormat. everybody's using me to wipe their feet on. But I can guarantee you that this is the way it happens. God does leave that going for a season. But then he says, no more doormat. I'm in charge now. And this is stopping. I've lived it. I've walked it out. So even though you think that people are making fun of you and think they got one over on you, they never get one over on you. Never. If you're a true servant of God, nobody ever gets anything over on you. Eventually, God will vindicate you. So quit looking for vindication and just remain a servant. The altar's open.